Welcome everybody to
Welcome everybody to Boozy Bracketology, where we believe in three things: strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And this month we've got a doozy for you. Hopefully you've been tuning into the first couple of episodes, because we are on the round of 32 for our best horror movie with a strong female lead bracket. We've had a lot of fun in the first four episodes here. Thank you again to Sarah for filling in for me last time. I was very interested to see how those last two rounds panned out. And now we are going to be diving into the round of 32. I forget if I said, I am your host, Mike. I will be guiding you through this evening. I have a lovely Old Forester 1910 bourbon here to accompany me, and I plan to enjoy it. But enough from me. You want to meet our panelists, because they're going to be doing a lot more talking than I am. And we're going to start with three women that I would absolutely bet on if they were ever in a horror movie. First up, we have Isabel. Isabel, how you doing? What you drinking? Tell us a little bit if you got anything to promote.
Hi, I'm doing great. I'm drinking a nice big glass of clear water. And it's super liquidy and very healthy for me. So I'm going for the healthy option tonight.
I write lots
of different kinds of fiction. If you like horror, you might want to check out Servant of the Undead and Mistress of the Undead. Those are my two erotic horror books. And since the holidays are coming up, if you're interested in a Hallmark in reverse Christmas story, check out Not Home for the Holidays. It's about a country girl that moves to the city and gets a big time job and kind of moves away from all of those Hallmark traditions, like family and coffee cups and such. So thanks for having me.
Dare I ask, what does she move to?
She moves to New York and gets a big, high-stress job.
Oh, so it's like real life.
Well, it's the opposite of the Hallmark Christmas, where this, you know, workaholic woman goes back to her small town and remembers that she's supposed to, like, you know, care about small town stuff and, you know, ditch her big job.
I love it.
And her big
that sounds fantastic.
And just settle down. So
I'm all about smashing the patriarchy. I'm on board.
Yeah.
And that was not home for the holidays. Is that correct?
Not home for the holidays.
I love it. I'll have to check that one out.
It has a super happy ending, though. It has the happy Hallmark ending. It's just the opposite. So
right. That sounds great. Moving on, once again, we are joined by the two hosts of the Dead Girls Talking podcast. First up, we have Jenna. Jenna, how are you doing tonight?
Excellent, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. What you drinking? Anything exciting?
Oh, I have a $5 bottle of Cabernet that I picked up impulsively at Target because I was there to get my cat a Halloween costume. So that's all you need to know about me and the podcast.
There is so wonderful. Much to unpack there. It's not funny.
That was a lot of information in a single sentence, and I am loving it. That's great.
Hey, real quick, Michael, I can throw a plug out there. So if you're enjoying this episode and you want to hear more, we had Jenna over on the Pub Trivia Experience, where she went not head to head, but her and I both took the horror movie hot seat challenge. And Jenna, I dare say you did pretty damn well.
My seat was hot, guys. It was not easy.
It was fun, though.
It was fun, but it was hard.
Yeah, those hot seat episodes are, they're fun. I would completely melt on a hot seat about horror movies, but that's why I am hosting, so I'll be anxious to hear that one. Next up, coming on our panelists, the other half of that podcast, we have Minda.
Hi, I'm drinking Crystal Light lemonade flavor because I keep to tradition.
Woohoo!
Nice. Yeah.
Excited to be here. Thanks so much. Check out our show anywhere where you stream podcasts.
Can confirm.
Yeah, that's right. You definitely do that. They've been great panelists for us so far. So you definitely want to check out their show as well. And we are very happy to have them on.
Thank you.
So those are the three panelists that I would bet on if they were in a horror movie. And now we're going to move on to two guys that I would definitely not bet on if they were in a horror movie. Starting with Chris.
So really, the slightly overweight asthmatic, you're not betting to last long in a horror movie? I'm shocked. I say.
Hey, you never know. It could be subverting expectations.
This is not Feast. This is regular American Horror. For those that have seen Feast, the main character dies three times. There is no main character because they keep killing the main character. But neither here nor there. Mike, I'm doing well. I am sick as a dog. I've been sick for 3 days. Everyone's heard this by now. I am just drinking a glass of Pasco County's finest Zephyr Hills ice cold water. So cheers to Woo-hoo. That.
I for a second, I thought you were going to say Pasco County's finest tap water. And I was going to say that stomach bug is going to last a lot longer.
Yeah, no. It's Pasco County after all.
And rounding out our panelists tonight, we have Steven. Steven, how are you doing tonight?
Well, of course you wouldn't bet on me to survive the horror film. The killer never survived, so that's probably a good choice on your
wow.
part.
Wow.
I knew it was you all along.
Yeah, you'll never see me coming.
That's right. You drinking anything tonight?
Putting up a bottle of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar Frostbite, because there I it think is. It's the last exotic Mountain Dew I have, so I might get cranky after this.
He's had to go slumming it back to regular diet Mountain Dew.
Like a bum, like an animal, if you will.
Ooh. The horror, the horror. And speaking of horror, that was a very awkward segue, but whatever. We're going to dive into this. As I said earlier, we're at the first half of our round of 32 this evening. So we're going to do the pre-1980 horror films and the 1980s and 90s horror films. And we're going to start with a matchup of number one versus number nine. For our number one seed, we have Alien, the original, which made quick work of the Amityville Horror, which I pronounced correctly this time. And it's going to go up against the 1977 film Suspiria as the number nine seed. And we're starting, as I said, with Isabel. Take it away.
These are both pretty great, and I do love the 1970s. Horror films. I'm going with Alien because I think it stays with you longer afterwards. And it's just more compact in that it's in a spaceship, but bigger in as far as the story goes. So not a lot to say about that one. I'm just going with Alien.
And Alien picks up its first vote. Jenna, what do you say?
This one's easy. It's Alien for me. Ripley is an absolute badass. This has one of the most impressive lady fight sequences as far as like women in horror. It's combat. She's not just running. And then like at the end, it like the movie concludes with Ripley and her cat going into hypersleep. And that's how I think everything should end. So Alien.
Alien picking up its second vote. Minda, you're next.
It's Alien. And Jenna, I think that your cat should go as that cat for Halloween. Like to honor this experience. But yeah, like free. Yeah, exactly. Female fronted horror. You can't not vote for Alien.
And Alien picks up its third vote and will be moving on. The women have spoken, but we still want to hear from the gentlemen, starting with Chris.
You know, gentleman is used very loosely.
Very.
Very, very loosely. I don't feel like Suspiria is getting any love here, and it kind of irks me because that movie's phenomenal. If you're a cinephile at all, the giallo section of cinema from Italy is some of the weirdest and coolest cinema you'll ever see. And Suspiria is an amazing, amazing film. Again, I've talked about it before, but it's like the highest value of art that is considered in the world is put through this really trippy lens, and Argento does an amazing job with it. But it's freaking Alien. Like, it's freaking Alien. It's Ripley, for God's sake. Come on. She redefined what a freaking, not just a horror movie. She redefined horror and then redefined action. That movie was written without a gender on the lead. They wrote that character to be genderless because they didn't want to typecast anyone, and they found the perfect person to play her. And Sigourney Weaver's a freaking badass. Alien has more staying power. It's more iconic, and it's been more impactful than Suspiria ever could. Alien is my choice.
And that is a fourth vote for Alien after maybe a slight bait and switch. Steven, do we have a sweep?
Yeah, I didn't know what I was going to say here because the answer is so obvious. But then Chris made a mistake, so I can correct him and use my time for that. The character of Ripley was actually written as male as were all the characters on the spaceship Nostromos, and there was just like an asterisk note that the screenwriter put at the front page saying that he was okay with any of the characters being switched to female if the studio thought it would bring in more money. And he never thought that Ripley would be switched to female, but they did, and it was better for all of it. And it's going to beat the butt of Suspiria, because it's just an inherently better movie.
I stand corrected.
That's all right. I was not aware of any of those facts, so that was news to me, but that's really cool. Alien does pick up the sweep. We'll be moving on to the Sweet 16 as we move on to our next matchup. We have Rosemary's Baby, which avoided the 12-5 upset against Black Christmas in the first round. And it's going to be taking on the number 4 seed, the original Halloween from 1978. And starting us off, we have Jenna.
Okay, I have tremendous respect for Halloween as a film and as a framework for other things. It was this... The architecture of Halloween is the thing that we hang most slasher movies on now in some way. However, Rosemary's Baby is a masterpiece. It is not Roman Polanski's work. It's Ira Levine's work. It's such a close adaptation of that novel. I think we can cut that guy out of this pretty much wholesale. There's just so much. It's so well acted. There's so much attention to detail. It's such a believable reaction to this kind of like unraveling, increasingly weird turn of events. And at the end of the day, it's Michael Myers versus Satan. Satan is scarier. Rosemary's Baby.
And Satan over Michael Myers in the first vote. Rosemary's Baby takes a 1-0 lead as we head over to Minda next.
I'm going with Rosemary's Baby because I think Jenna is scarier than Satan, and I don't want to cross her in any way, shape, or form because we have to work together all the time. Yeah, see, there's her familiar right now.
All right, so we have a hierarchy of scary that we've established so far as Rosemary's Baby picks up its second vote. Chris, what do you have to say?
Oh God, I feel like Jenna kind of made that like pointed right at me because of my disdain and rightfully so disdain of Roman Polanski. The guy is a put him in
jail.
Oh
no,
already.
If we can leave him out of this discussion, I'd be completely happy.
I can't because for reasons.
Understand.
No, but if you're coming down to the merits of the movie, I go back to Impact, and Rosemary's Baby is maybe the best haunting devil takeover movie possession movie if you want to call it that. That you're going to get, and it's got the really cool side impact of gaslighting, which isn't used anywhere near enough in modern horror. I think that's a phenomenal trait. But the impact of Halloween that Halloween has had from the time it came out to now makes it the movie that I pop in once a year. I watch that movie once a year, and it's not because of nostalgia. It's because that movie still is pretty freaking terrifying. Laurie Strode is still a phenomenal lead actress. She's the original Scream Queen. They named a genre after the main character. And the main character survived by being a protective badass. She really does. The score is awesome. It's very dated, but the score is awesome. The story of how this movie got made is unbelievable. It had a higher hill to climb, and it's more memorable to me. For me, it's Halloween.
And Halloween, much like Laurie Strode, is not going down without a fight. It does pick up a vote as we head over to Steven next.
I really don't know what I'm going to pick for this one, honestly. I'm going to split here because objectively, when I take a step back and use the, you know, thinky parts of my brain, I can tell you that Rosemary's Baby is the better movie. It's better put together. It's more suspenseful. It's way more artfully shot. But I enjoy Halloween more. I think it's much more of a fun watch. I think it's much more of an interesting watch. I think there's... You know, I really want to say Halloween here, which would be a punt too, and you should never punt on Boozy Bracketology. I mean, let's be honest. What is Michael Myers? He's basically Pepe Le Pew. He slowly follows you wherever you go, and you can't escape him. he makes a William Shatner mask painted white scary. That's an achievement. But no, the I will watch Halloween a million more times than I watch Rosemary's Baby in my life, but I will spend just as much time thinking about them because Rosemary's Baby stays with you longer after you watch it. So, yeah, it's a better film, Rosemary's Baby.
And I was honestly not sure where that one was going, but Rosemary's Baby does pick up its third vote. Isabel, how much of a runaway is this one?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed because I wanted to be the person that broke the tie. I feel a little cheated. But I'll live with it. I think that Rosemary's Baby has the advantage of the better plot. The stakes continue to go up, and the circumstances get more and more intense. With Halloween, the scary situation stays the same. He's after you, he's after you, he's after you. But Rosemary's Baby, it just gets more and more intense. And it's a really, like Chris said, there's that gaslighting element in there. And that makes it pretty terrifying. It's a special kind of terror that she's dealing with. So I am going with Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby picks up its fourth vote. We'll be moving on to the round of 16 to face off against Alien. That should be a fun matchup. But we'll have to wait a couple episodes to get there. We are moving on to our next matchup in this round, which is going to be the number 11 seed of The Exorcist, which took out Psycho in the first round. I'll refrain from making the pub trivia experience reference since Chris is sick. The Exorcist is the number 11 seed, is going to be taking on the number 3 seed, Night of the Living Dead. A couple of horror classics, and we are going to be starting this one off with Minda.
I just want to say real quick that I find it funny that all the women, we are horrified by gaslighting more than we are slasher guys with knives. Like, no, because we've like actually had to deal with this in real life. It's a true horror situation. But back to this moment, of course it's The Exorcist for me. It's terrifying. I'm still terrified. The book terrified me. The movie terrified me. It has the staying power. Not, you know, The Night of the Living Dead does too, but they're kind of different in this way. And back to the Satan slash Jenna thing. Very scary.
And The Exorcist does pick up its first vote. Chris.
I'm more scared of thinking of Jenna as Satan than I am of Night of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead for me is more well known for the fact that it spawned an entire universe of properties. The Exorcist is still one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. It's The Exorcist, and I'm not even going to waste any more time on it.
The Exorcist picks up its second vote as we head to Steven next.
You should waste more time on it, because Night of the Living Dead is still a solid film. It is eminently watchable. It came out in, what, 68? And it's still, particularly the final ending of the movie, it really hits home what it's trying to get across. It does a great job making the monsters the metaphor that it wants it to make. And it's really, really well shot, really, really, really well paced. The budget shows it places, obviously, but it's going up against The Exorcist. I mean, just, yeah, there's no way I can do this. As much as I do love Night of the Living Dead, The Exorcist is, if you don't watch the stupid director's cut with the crab walk, an almost perfect film. So The Exorcist gets my vote.
And The Exorcist does pick up its third vote and will be moving on to the next round, possibly a little underseeded. But we still want to hear from our remaining panelists, of course, starting with Isabel.
I'm going with The Exorcist, too. Even that hospital scene is scary when they go to check her brain out, see what's going on. Even that's scary. So Exorcist all the way.
Exorcist does pick up its fourth vote. Jenna, do we have a sweep here?
We have a sweep. These are both excellent movies, but only one of them made the Pope mad.
And we have one vote for making the Pope mad, possibly all five and only one mentioned it, but we do have The Exorcist winning in the sweep as the 11 seed, pulling off its second upset in a row and heading to the Sweet 16, where it will take on one of these two movies. We have The Birds from 1963, the Alfred Hitchcock classic. Once again, Mike refrains from making the joke at Chris's expense, and we also have our major upset from our first episode, the 1978 film I Spit on Your Grave, a 15 seed, which took down King Kong. The Birds versus I Spit on Your Grave, and we are actually going to start with Chris.
I voted for The Birds last time because I genuinely don't like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I've never quite understood why that movie got the popularity that it did. And it's never been my cup of tea from a horror standpoint. It's the final girl trope. It's decently well done, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about The Birds. And as Steven said last time, it's a movie without an ending. Say what you want about Spit on Your Grave. I've seen that movie exactly once, and I will never watch it again. But there is something cathartic about the ending of that film, isn't there? There is something moderately cathartic about people seeing people get their comeuppance. And I don't like the movie, but no, I'm going with I Spit on Your Grave and hoping I remember the ending of that film correctly.
And I believe that was one vote for a movie that Chris does not like and is not entirely sure he remembers the ending of, but that is one vote for I Spit on Your Grave. Steven?
Yeah, like Chris, I do like I Spit on Your Grave. Now, I don't enjoy it because watching it is just really, really hard. But like, if your biggest complaint about a film is that it made you feel too much, that's not a bad film. I think I said it last time. The only real problem I have with Spit on Your Grave is that the order she kills them in is in the wrong order. She should kill the leader of the rape gang last, so the last shot's her in that rocking chair. Yeah, The Birds doesn't have an ending. I think if it had a satisfying ending, or like the end of it was they were stuck in the house and we just heard the birds pecking outside and we realized they were all doomed, that's a better ending than them driving away somewhere. Yeah, I know there was originally another ending plan, but the film out there doesn't have an ending, and no ending, and an ending that's not quite in the right order, an ending that's not quite in the right order is better. So I Spit on Your Grave.
And I Spit on Your Grave picks up a second vote as we start back at the top again with Isabel.
This is a tough one for me, but I think I'm going to go with I Spit on Your Grave because in my mind, when I think about The Birds 20 years later, and then I think about I Spit on Your Grave 20 years later, I think I Spit on Your Grave is still scary and disturbing after 20 years, more so than The Birds. So that's how I'm making my decision on this one.
And I Spit on Your Grave picks up its third vote, and we have another runaway on our hands. We'll be moving on to the Sweet 16, but let's hear from our final two panelists to see if we got it right, starting with Jenna.
I think so. I've got to go with I Spit on Your Grave. I do not have an abiding fear of birds, but I do have an abiding fear of rape. So I think it's one of those things that it plays to this real visceral horror. I don't care to watch it again either. Once was plenty. But it's one of those things that's it's terrible in a rewarding kind of way. Like running. I Spit on Your Grave.
I Spit on Your Grave picks up its fourth vote. Minda, do we have a sweep?
No, because I'm not like that. Everybody's going on about the ending of The Birds, and it's very much The Lady and the Tiger. Like, the movie doesn't have to do everything for you. You can think independently. You can end it how you want to in your head. I like the mid-century aspect of it. Listen, rape is horrible. Bird rape, obviously the next step on The Birds. They just couldn't do that. That's the worst thing ever. So you don't know where they're... What, Jen?
The only thing that's worse.
The only thing that's worse. Yeah, the bird rape is worse. Obviously, the worst kind of dinosaur because there's obviously an evolutionary thing right there. I like Alfred Hitchcock, and I'm really into mid-century looks. So you've already taken it. It doesn't matter what the fuck I say right now. So I'm going to throw it in for The Birds. This is Monday. I do what I want.
And The Birds does pick up a token vote there towards the end. But I Spit on Your Grave is going to continue its Cinderella run here. Going to be moving on to the Sweet 16. And that finishes off the first region, our pre-1980 region. And now we move into the second half of our round of 32, second quarter of our round of 32, I say, second half of our episode. We have 80s and 90s horror movies with strong female lead, and these are two definite examples of that. Coming up, we have the number one seed of Silence of the Lambs, the best picture winner from 1991, taking on the classic Candyman from 1992, the 8 seed, which took out Scream fairly easily in the first round. And we are going to be starting with Steven.
Yeah, I don't have to feel as bad about not voting for Candyman this time. Candyman's a film that I recognize it. Again, objectively, taking a step back, it's a good film. It's a well-made film. I get what it's trying to do. not my cup of tea, and I felt a little bad not voting for it last time, because it's probably the better film, I just don't enjoy it at all. But up against Silence of the Lambs, Silence of the Lambs is what I enjoy more, and it's the better film, bar none. It's just a much better put-together idea, and it's terrifying. The first time you watch Silence of the Lambs, we need to forget, we've all seen it a million times because it's a great film, we watch it over and over, and it's kind of numbed us to it. Remember the first time you watch Silence of the Lambs? Like, did you not turn the lights on? Because I know a lot of people that did. Silence of the Lambs all the way.
Silence of the Lambs picked up the first vote. Let's head over to Isabel next.
I do like, think that Silence of the Lambs is intense and scary, but I'm going with Candyman this time because I think the heroine in Candyman is more complex and she's got more at stake. I know that Clarice has a lot at stake because there are people that are being killed, but there's also people that are getting killed in Candyman, and it's more random and I think more terrifying because the people that are getting killed are more vulnerable. So I think there's that kind of, political angle that makes it more intense. And so, yeah, Candyman.
And we have a game on our hands in this matchup as Candyman pulls even with Silence of the Lambs. And we head over to Jenna to break the tie.
I hate that these two are going against each other right now. It feels like I'm trying to pick my favorite kid. I love both of these movies so much in completely different ways. Candyman is terrifying and fun, and the story arc is really well executed for something that like had such potential to be campy. And I will forever enjoy that movie. But Silence of the Lambs is my comfort film. Steven seems to think that this is universal. I would guess it's probably not. I think it's weird how many times I've seen Silence of the Lambs. Anybody who's been romantically involved with me for any length of time knows that when I'm upset, I just go watch Silence of the Lambs, and you should just let me finish, and then it'll be okay, probably. But it's such a, it's filmed with such care. The cinematography is so compelling in, like, just the way that it has you take the perspective of Clarice Starling, who is someone that I want so badly to be. I love everything about that movie. It's Silence of the Lambs for me.
And Silence of the Lambs pulls back into the lead as we head over to Minda to see if Candyman's going to come back and force overtime or if Silence of the Lambs is going to pull away. Minda, what do you say?
As a moderately chubby girl, nothing has struck fear in my heart like Silence of the Lambs. I see you laughing, Jenna Hall, but that's true and you know it. Yeah. Okay, it's Silence of the Lambs.
What are you, about a size 14?
Yeah, but whatever, I learned how to scale a wall because I didn't want to rub the lotion on my skin. It's fucking terrifying. It's psychologically terrifying, you know, and it's really, really well done. And I read the book a bajillion times. I was really into the whole thing. And it was very, almost could have been like real, you know, because it is based on Ed Gein. She and I were going to go stay at Buffalo Bill's bed and breakfast, but then, you know, we can't afford it. But so no, for real, it is Silence of the Lambs for me. Candyman is great and it's fun, but I don't find it as terrifying.
And Silence of the Lambs does pick up its third vote, as I recommend that somebody get a Kickstarter going so that Jenna and Minda can go stay at Buffalo Bill's, because that just sounds like it would be an amazing experience.
Go fund us.
or go fund me, whatever. Anything to make that happen. The Silence of the Lambs does pick up its third vote. We'll be moving on to the Sweet 16, but I guess we got to hear from Chris, too. Chris, what do you say?
So if we're talking about places that Chris wants to go stay overnight, there's two. One is obviously the last Blockbuster out in Bend, Oregon. They have turned it into an Airbnb. You can rent it out now. It's kind of cool. The other is the Clown Motel. It is an entire motel in this little podunk town in nowhere, Nevada, that I would for sure spend a weekend in, because everything in that hotel is creepy-ass 70s and 60s clown-themed, and it looks amazing. Yes, Isabella.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
Right,
no, thank you.
I can't wait. It's on my bucket list. So I'm going to just real quick. I felt okay last time casting my vote for Candyman over Scream, even though Scream had a much better, much bigger impact because it kind of brought back American slasher films to the pop culture media. But I had a better feeling about that because of the fact that it didn't friggin' matter, because they were going to go up against Silence of the Lambs. It is an iconic film. It is a terrifying film. Fight me if you want. Silence of the Lambs is a horror movie. It's not a thriller. Go watch the last half hour of that movie. That movie is a straight-up horror movie. Silence of the Lambs is by far the better film. I'm happy it's moving on.
And Silence of the Lambs finishes off its 4-1 victory over Candyman, which doesn't take anything away from Candyman, which is, of course, an excellent film as well. It's just hard to beat Silence of the Lambs. And we'll see if one of these next two movies will be able to do that in the Sweet 16. But first, they've got to get past each other. Will it be the 12 seed, which pulled off the 12-5 upset of The Craft from 1996, taking on the 4 seed of Misery, which of course won Kathy Bates her Academy Award? The Craft versus Misery, and I believe we are starting back at the top with Isabel.
So I did just watch, rewatch The Craft today while I was eating dinner because I wanted to be up to date on my decision. I think I'm going to go with Misery. And part of it is because last time we got together, you guys said a bunch of really compelling stuff about Misery. So I listened and I'm like, I think maybe just being a fiction writer, I'm not sympathetic because like everything about being a fiction writer is terrifying, not just being stuck in a bed. So I'm going with Misery.
And that is a vote for Misery. Jenna, what do you say?
The Craft is a mediocre teen movie that filled a hot topic with a certain kind of clothing for a certain number of years. Misery is enduring. It's this slow burn. I know it kind of seems like the stakes are pretty much the same, but it really escalates. Like there's a build to it. Like that scene where she finds that figurine out of place and he knows that she knows. It's terrifying. And Kathy Bates could be anybody. Like Kathy Bates could be one of us right now. She's the most elastic person. She absolutely deserved all of her accolades for Misery. I love that movie.
That is a second vote for Misery as we head over to Minda next.
Well, you know, I'm a woman of a certain age, so I resonate with The Craft because I came up on it. I was at the Hot Topic like last week, still trying to dress that in that same vein. But it's not scary. It's not horror. And there's really no, I mean, Misery's scary as shit. There's like actual pain and horror and you don't know if that guy's going to make it out, you know? And like she said, Kathy freaking Bates, man. So I'm going with Misery.
And Misery picks up its third vote. We'll be moving on to the Sweet 16, but I do want to hear from everybody, and that includes Chris.
Let's get one thing straight. The only reason The Craft moved on is because my dumbass had The Thing on here for some reason.
I wasn't going to say it.
That's it. That's the reason why it moved on. Oversight on my part. Sorry. Was going through the bracket, didn't happen to notice I didn't take that off. I left it on there as a joke, and no one called me out on it, so I didn't even think to take it off. That's me being a dumbass. Sorry. The Craft is a mediocre film for what it was. When it comes to the grand scheme of things, it's a bad film. Honestly, one of my least favorite films in the entire bracket. So no. Misery is iconic. Move Misery along.
Misery picks up its fourth vote, and although I have a sneaking suspicion, I already know what the answer is. Steven, do we have a sweep?
Yeah, of course we have a sweep here. Misery is a great film, and it's a great film because it lets us sympathize with the villain. Kathy Bates' performance is not only great and brings a lot of humanity to it, but the fact is that Annie is not entirely wrong when she tells you that it's a cheat when the chapter play shows the hero dying in a car train crash, and then the next week he gets out and all the kids cheer, but whether they have amnesia, they didn't get out of the cockadoody train. She's right. She's right when she says once an author publishes her work and we get to invest and enjoy that work, it's partially ours now, too, and in some weird way. That's why when something happens like, say, an asshole director goes back and edits a Star Wars film that was almost perfect to begin with, we get really, really upset because we all have a little bit of Annie in us and we all can understand her. And even though she's gone too far and she's crazy and she has to die, you got to beat her brains in with that fucking typewriter that's missing an E. She's such a complex and nuanced character that you cannot at some small level, sympathize with her. And that's why that performance is so great. That's why that film is so great. I'm voting for Misery.
Annie, are you okay?
You've been hit by a smooth typewriter. Misery does finish off the sweep over The Craft and will be moving on to the Sweet 16 to face off against Silence of the Lambs, showdown of two excellent movies, and I cannot wait to find out how that pans out, but we'll have to wait a few episodes for that. Misery does love company, though, so let's find out who the final two films are that are going to be joining it in the Sweet 16 from this particular region. In the next matchup, we have the number 11 seed of The Hitcher from 1986, which pulled off a slight upset over Blair Witch Project. And it's going to be taking on the classic Nightmare on Elm Street, the original from 1984. And we're going to check in with Jenna first.
Gotta give it to Nightmare on Elm Street. In terms of strong, iconic female lead, yeah, definitely. There's some structural problems with the movie that I don't think ever really get addressed. I don't like the ending, but the main thrust of it, being afraid to go to sleep and how inevitable it becomes that you're eventually gonna go to sleep. And it's based on, like, the folklore behind it is really kind of cool. And then the very real phenomenon of sleep paralysis, it's an interesting angle that kind of gets lost in the franchise, but that original film is it's really solid. Elm Street.
And Nightmare on Elm Street picks up its first vote. Let's check in with Minda next.
It's Nightmare on Elm Street for me. Part of this is nostalgia as well. So I can't really separate myself from my personal feelings for the artistic nature. It's 1984. It's my youth. It's everything. And it's still powerful today. Like, it's still a big iconic situation happening. So for me, it's Elm Street.
And Nightmare on Elm Street does pick up its second vote. Let's check in with Chris next.
So I said in the last episode, or the last recording we did when we were talking about these movies, that The Hitcher was a pretty inspirational film for me. I actually wrote a screenplay not based on it, but it inspired my screenplay. And the idea of hitchhiking, specifically in the part of the world that I live in, is a freaking terrifying concept. And The Hitcher, I thought, kind of captured that concept perfectly in the subtext that it was telling. But Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street is one of the most relatable, quote-unquote, final girls I've ever seen out there. She is what the final girl really is. They don't really talk about it much with the original Halloween, Laurie Strode, but Nancy is the prototypical virgin who is saving herself for marriage and is stalked by this character that is, you can't, there's no way you can get away from it, right? You're eventually going to go to sleep. But her character performance in this movie, Heather Langenkamp, is phenomenal. And I don't think she gets the credit that we do, because we always talk about Jamie Lee Curtis. I think part of the reason we do is because Jamie Lee Curtis went on to have this ultra-successful career. But Heather Langenkamp's performance in that movie is up there with Laurie Strode for me. And I don't think she gets the credit for it. Not to plug someone else's book, but Wes Craven has a biography. You should go read it. It's actually phenomenal because he talks about the influences behind that movie. And Jen's 100% right. Sleep paralysis is a big part of what drove him to write this movie. And also, let's be honest. Like, the scene of Johnny Depp being eaten by a bed then regurgitated on the ceiling was kind of freaking cool, right? Like, even today, by today's standards, that's all practical effects. That's kind of freaking cool. So no, for me, it's not even close. Nightmare on Elm Street is my guess, my vote.
Nightmare on Elm Street picks up its third vote, and Chris is right. It's not even close. Nightmare on Elm Street is running away with it so far. Is it possible The Hitcher might make a late game surge and at least cover the spread? Steven?
Well, you better hope that was a pretty big spread, because The Hitcher's here because it went up against the ultimately incredibly boring Blair Witch Project. Did not face stiff competition. The Hitcher's fine for what it is, but Nightmare on Elm Street, there's a reason why we keep trying to make other Nightmare on Elm Streets and we never hit it again, because that film is just phenomenal. It's weird that it turns into Home Alone in the third act, and that's probably why it's not going to win in the end, spoilers, but for now, going up against The Hitcher, much, much better movie, much better. And that final girl is great. You know, the three best Nightmare on Elm Street movies are 1, 3, and Freddy's New Nightmare. And what do they have in common? They all have that actress as the lead. So yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street picks up its fourth vote. Isabel, do we have a sweep here?
Yep, it's a sweep. Get out your broom. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Get out your broom indeed, as Nightmare on Elm Street makes quick work of the Hitcher. And we move on to our final matchup of the evening. We have a 7 versus 15 matchup. The 7 seed, of course, is that Alfred Hitchcock, that Stanley Kubrick classic. Sorry, Chris, you know I was going to get you eventually. That Stanley Kubrick classic, The Shining from 1980, that's the 7 seed. And it's going to be taking on, yes, we did have, and I know Chris will have a thing or two to say about this one too. Number 7 seed, The Shining, taking on our second 15-2 upset of the evening from last round. The 15 seed of I Know What You Did Last Summer took out The Evil Dead. And now it's going up against The Shining. And deciding this one first, we have Minda.
It's The Shining. Like, there's no, like, competition between these two movies. Like, okay, cool. I Know What You Did Last Summer. The fucking Shining? Yeah, for real, man. That's all. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe all that needs to be said. That is one vote for The Shining. Chris, you got some thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so let me tell you what the true definition of horror is. And I think some people on the show are actually going to be able to relate to me. But making one drunken mistake years ago, and having that drunken mistake follow you for year after year after year with someone keep pounding it into your head is exactly what my life has been since I started this freaking podcast 3 years ago. Thank you, Mike, you son of a bitch. My God, I drunkenly said Psycho. No, The Shining, or no, Kubrick. I drunkenly said Kubrick 3 years ago, and this shit's still happening.
You're fucking it up right now.
I know. I'm over it. No, listen, part of my guilt for voting for the Candyman over Scream was the fact that somehow, some way, I Know What You Did Last Summer is still in this damn bracket, when it is a ripoff of a mediocre American slasher film. Same director, same writer, Kevin Williamson. Yay, good for you. No, this isn't close. It's not. This is obviously The Shining. Please move it along.
And Chris makes clear two things. Number one, that he is definitely voting for The Shining. And number two, that your host, Mike, is a total dick. As we move on to Steven next, which one's it going to be?
Yeah, the most gore you're going to encounter anywhere in this entire bracket is us sweeping up the court with the leftovers of I Know What You Did Last Summer after The Shining is done with it. Because this is such an epic beatdown, it's not even funny. I didn't vote for The Shining last time because when I think of The Shining, I don't think of it as a Shelley Duvall movie. But it's still The Shining. I mean, come the fuck on. I Know What You Did Last Summer is just... it's terrible. I'm sorry. I don't know how. I got here because it was up against Evil Dead, and Evil Dead doesn't really have a female lead. Yeah, it's terrible. Get rid of it. Yeah, let's never talk of this again.
And Steven casting a vote for The Shining and pretending that this matchup never happened as we head over to Isabel.
Well, The Shining is, again, about the horrors of being a writer, so we got to go with The Shining. Many of us can relate.
And The Shining does pick up its fourth vote. Jenna, do we have a sweep?
Oh, for crying out loud, it's The Shining. I will fight you.
And she's Satan, so watch out.
Yeah, we've definitely established that as The Shining picks up a sweep. And we have had, let me count this here. 1, 2, 3, what is it, 4, 5 sweeps. And the remaining three were all 4-1 victories. In this round of 32, we've got some stiff competition heading into the Sweet 16 is really what I'm saying here. We've finished off this half of the bracket as we get out of the round of 32 into Sweet 16 to recap for you. In the next episode, not the next episode, we'll finish off the round of 32 in the next episode, and then we'll come back around 2 episodes from now. And we'll finish the Sweet 16, and your matchups for this side of the bracket are going to be in the pre-1980 region. Alien versus Rosemary's Baby. The Exorcist versus I Spit on Your Grave. Silence of the Lambs versus Misery, and Nightmare on Elm Street versus The Shining. Holy crap. I do not envy you guys having to make some of those decisions. We have an incredible crop of films that we're going to be facing down in that next round. Should be a lot of fun. We hope you guys, all you listeners out there, will continue to listen and tune in for that episode. We thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you're hearing, we do have a Patreon available. It is at patreon.com/PTEBB. The PTE is for Pub Trivia Experience, our sister podcast, and BB, of course, for Boozy Bracketology. We have bonus content there. Every month, we, after the bracket is over, we come back, bring on a few of our panelists, and revisit everything in Boozy Revisited. Try to figure out, you know, things we got right, things we got wrong, et cetera, what we would have added onto the bracket, what we would have not had onto the bracket. I suspect, as Chris alluded to, The Thing probably would be one that people might remove from the bracket. So definitely check us out there. If you are so inclined to support the show just a little bit financially, we love doing this, but, every little bit helps. If you can't do that, totally understand. That's cool. We'd love it if you like what you're hearing. If you could leave us a 5-star rating, give us a good review, that'd be awesome. Or if you just want to shoot the shit with us, we have a group called The Lounge, fans of Pub Trivia Experience and Boozy Bracketology on Facebook. Come join us there. We're always talking about random stuff and just bantering back and forth, kind of like what we do here, just in typewritten form. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you like. Tell us what decisions we got wrong. Honestly, that's a lot of it, is people cursing us for the things that we got wrong. Although, quite frankly, from your own unbiased host perspective, I think we did a damn good job choosing this half of the Sweet 16. And we're going to sign off for the night. For Boozy Bracketology, I have been your host, Mike.
I'm Isabel Drake.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Minda.
I'm Chris.
I've been Steven.
Have a great one, everybody.